Hey, hey, habit thrivers. If you're ready to rock your next chapter, this is your place. It's time to live your most fit, fearless, and fabulous life. I believe that our daily habits and routines set the foundation for achieving our dream lives and help us find more passion and clarity with less doubt and uncertainty. So let's get cozy. Grab your planner and your favorite beverage and come along with me on this journey of reclaiming your passions and finding new ones along the way. Welcome to the Habit Thrive podcast, a podcast for women in their me now years. Each week we explore habits, routines, and rituals to reclaim our power and our awesomeness to live our best chapters yet. In this week's episode, we are talking about Ayurvedic spring habits and routines, what to add, delete, or shift for a healthy and happy spring. And in fact, this is part one of a two-part series on the spring habits and routines. So at this point, I am still traveling as I record this podcast. My husband, unfortunately, is experiencing all of the wonderful elements of the spring season for kaphas. For those people with a kapha dosha or constitution, the spring can be quite challenging. According to Ayurveda, the science and practice of living a long and healthy life, the kapha qualities of water and earth are the key elements expressed in the spring and thus in our bodies. So he is experiencing the sinus congestion, mucus building, allergies, and fabulous phlegm of spring. Now, regardless of how often I reassure him that it is his body's way of clearing the winter sludge and that this is normal for his constitution, it's still challenging at any time, but especially when we are traveling. So this brings me to the first of what to add to your spring habits and routines, even if you are not all kapha, because we are all experiencing an increase in kapha in this time of year. So feeling the heaviness of the earth element and the mucousy sinusy qualities of the water element. So in part one, I'm going to discuss what to add to help with the clearing and cleansing and detoxifying. And then next week, I'm going to be chatting about what to delete or shift to make room for these spring habits. So let's dive right in. So the first technique that I'm going to talk about is the neti pot or the sinus rinse. Now, I tend to do the sinus rinse more than the neti pot, and this can be morning and or evening, especially if you are feeling congested. I prefer the Neil Med sinus rinse as it's easier for me to maneuver. I did give up on the neti pot years ago, yes, even as a yoga instructor, as I was feeling like I was constantly underwater. That being said, the sinus rinse actually does take a little practice as well. The key is to relax, not to force it, especially when you're feeling congested. And you just move back and forth between your nostrils, gently clearing your nose in between. And it pairs beautifully with alternate nostril breathing as a springtime pranayama. But give some time between your sinus rinse and any yogic practice, as there will be some residual runoff, so to speak. So that's number one, neti pot or sinus rinse. And again, for me, I tend to do this more in the spring. But if I'm feeling this congestion, if I have a cold, even in the middle of summer or certainly in the winter, I tend to pull out the sinus rinse, but it's not something that I do on a daily basis. So very much specific to the spring. The second technique I'm going to talk about is oil pulling. So my husband has actually been doing this practice on our trip, and I use it when I'm feeling congested or again in the midst of a cold. So you can Google it or YouTube it for more information, and I would suggest that as well. I'm not convinced that it makes your teeth whiter, your mouth healthier, or your breath fresher, because you're going to see that come up in your Googling. But it does help with the expressing and the getting out of that deep gunk and goo that I like to call it. And it feels actually really good to be doing that. So the recommendations are a tablespoon of coconut oil. You swish it around in your mouth for anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. No gargling or swallowing, you're just swishing. And then you spit it out into a garbage pail, not into the toilet, because again, it can be really thick and gooby with the coconut oil. I recommend starting with 5 to 10 minutes only. And again, if you have that kind of gag reflex, it may not be for you as well. That's why I recommend starting less. And if you are going to make your way up to, let's say, 20 minutes, then you're just doing other stuff as well, right? You're just, you know, getting going with your morning or whatever time of the day it is, and you're just swishing and doing other stuff as you do this. So experimenting with the time, starting with 5 to 10 minutes. The longest I ever do is up to 20 minutes. Then a light tongue brushing, so just 3 to 4 strokes, very, very light. This is what I've been exploring. I've been doing the tongue brushing for, I'm going to say, for a few years now, and I move in and out of it, and it should be actually a daily habit. It's one that I tend to come back to at the beginning of a season, and definitely in the spring again, because like you have that extra mucus and gunk, especially after oil pulling. So just very lightly, it's just 3 or 4 strokes back to front, just to get that extra little bit of goop off, and then a nice, really good teeth brushing. And it feels wonderful after this process, and it doesn't take a whole lot of extra time, because again, with the oil pulling, you are moving around and doing other stuff. You can actually do some shoulder rolls, do some yoga, nothing upside down though, I'm going to say. So that's number two. So number one, neti pot or sinus rinse. Number two, oil pulling. Number three, dry brushing or garshana. That's the Ayurvedic term. I am practicing using more of my Ayurvedic terms. So you're going to hear me doing this in the podcast, because I love the flow of it. I love the sound of it. So it is traditionally done using raw silk or linen gloves, but I have used a natural bristle brush, just getting that from my local pharmacy, although silk gloves are on my wish list because I want to experience the difference. Dry brushing for me, again, because I am Vata, I tend to play with it, explore it, use it more in the spring than I would in the fall or the winter, because from a Vata perspective, our focus is a little bit more, or a lot more, I'm going to say, compared to Kapha, on the oil massage and making sure we're well oiled and lubricated. And so on that note, I have put in the show notes a blog written. It's a Banyan Botanical blog, fantastic on this dry brushing, because it talks about some of the contraindications and some of the specifications, whether you are Kapha or Vata or Pitta. So if you're Kapha in the Kapha season, in the spring season, this is something to be doing on a daily basis. But if you're Vata like me, a couple of times a week, followed by an oil massage, just so that we don't actually get too dry. So it really does make a difference. It's these small little points from an Ayurvedic perspective that if you're reading some of these techniques, let's say just out in Google world without some of the specifications, sometimes you don't experience the full benefit of it, or in fact, it just doesn't feel good at all, and you're trying to figure out why. And very often, it's related to our dosha. So I would definitely recommend, have a look in the show notes at the article on dry brushing by Banyan Botanicals. But just to let you know again, it's an excellent practice for the Kapha time of year, from late winter into the spring. It stimulates Kapha, encouraging movement and the drainage of this excess mucus that I was talking about. And have fun with it. Add it in and just start small again. Just do a little bit of brushing. Notice how it feels. Notice how your skin feels. And then you can dig in a little bit more. So to recap, neti pot or sinus rinse, oil pulling, dry brushing. Okay. And even if you're thinking, oh, I don't have time, like in the morning, to add all of this in, just go by your gut feeling and your intuition. What do you feel like your body needs right now? And if you're not super congested, you might say, I'm just going to try some of this dry brushing. That's what I'm going to start with this week. And then you make notes, you put this in your journal perhaps, you might even save, bookmark the article from Banyan Botanicals, and then able to draw it into your routines when you're feeling the need. So number four, pranayama, breath practice. Any type of breathing practice is helpful at any time, but in the spring, super helpful because of the cleansing and clearing properties of a dedicated breathing practice. What I mean by that is whether it's a few minutes in the morning or in the evening or even pauses during the day. When it is dedicated, you are bringing your attention to your breath coming in and moving out. And it is in this attention that you are most likely enjoying longer exhalations, which is great for the nervous system, and deeper inhalations, great for our breathing muscles and overall fantastic for reducing blockages in our body and improving overall flow of prana. A dedicated practice, even a minute to two where you just pause, I will promise you that you will enjoy the benefits. Now, one of my favorites at any time is alternate nostril breathing. Again, any time during the year. Great. You've heard me talk about it before in terms of helping me fall asleep, or if I wake up in the night, coming to alternate nostril breathing to fall back asleep. So alternate nostril breathing, Nadi Shodhana. Okay, so I am coming back to the Sanskrit terms as well for the pranayama. They just flow beautifully. I love that. So this is alternate nostril breathing. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes for a YouTube video. It is actually my YouTube channel on doing the alternate nostril practice. And there are a few, let's say, modifications. If you do Google it, if you do go on YouTube, you will see different hand positions or mudras. And I would say when you first start with it, not to get too wrapped up in where are my fingers going, just thinking about, okay, I'm closing off one nostril gently, and then I'm closing off the other nostril and alternating side to side. And then you can fuss with whether or not you're using your pinky finger on one side or pinky finger and ring finger. Play with the mudras and notice the difference. And it ends up being, again, a lifelong practice. So that's number four. Number five is around your movement practices. So getting outside for your daily walks and runs again. Flowing yoga practices, again, we are wanting to move stuff through our body. So we are including twists and extensions and heart opening postures and generally just squeezing and pumping and flowing to move things through and out of our bodies, creating space for new stuff to come in, prana, energy, new ideas and opportunities even, because what we do in our body, of course, affects our mind. Number six, meditation. And thinking about moving your meditation outside when and if you can, because it's still going to be cooler in certain areas, certainly in Northern Ontario. By moving your meditation outside or by a window or door, grabbing a blanket, sitting by an open window where you can start to hear the birds and feel the air, it's just awesome in the spring. Any type of meditation, again, will work. Although I do recommend as you transition into a new season, particularly into the spring, that to do a meditation where you are engaging all of your senses. You're listening to nature. You are connecting to the sounds and the sights and the smells and the feeling. Even the taste afterwards, right? As you finish your meditation, you sit down with a nice cleansing green tea with mint. So seeing how, again, these techniques are connected. But it is, again, a beautiful time to start to shift, even if it's not right outside, but by a window, sitting at a window, and starting to make that transition. Number seven. And this will be our last one for today. Again, part two will be next week. From a food perspective, just generally lightening up. Lightening up your heavy stews and soups and casseroles and porridges. Again, when you think about the heaviness that we are feeling with the wet snow melting, and again, the earth and water element, We are moving to salads, to greens, to sprouts, to spices such as fennel. Ginger is still good. Okay, now for me, because I'm a Vata, I take ginger in moderation. It is heating, but again, it's very clearing and cleansing as well. So ginger is something for me that I do use probably more in the fall and the winter, but also in the spring, especially from an immunity standpoint as well. So cumin and coriander, and then transitioning to the herbs that are growing in your garden in the late spring and summer. So anything goes, your mint, your dill, your basil, all of that, wonderful. Keeping up with lots of water and lemon, if lemon works for you, okay, as it's cleansing and detoxifying. Lots of vegetables, greens, sprouts, berries, and other fruit, the foundation of your spring and summer nutrition. Experiment with how you can actually have fruits or vegetables be part of every single meal and snack and even beverage that you consume on a daily basis. That's kind of fun to do, actually, so I'm going to highly recommend that. As you go through these seven practices, again, suggestions, habits, however you want to look at it, neti pot or sinus rinse, oil pulling, dry brushing, pranayama, changing up your movement practice perhaps a little bit, moving your meditation outside, lightening up your food choices. Notice what is making a difference. Notice how it's fitting into your daily habits and routines, and perhaps adding a little bit of a pep into your step as you move through the spring. So staying tuned for next week as we explore what you can let go of in terms of habits and routines from your winter hibernation to make space for these spring habits. And a teaser for next week, to think about your habit loop, the cue, the routine, and the reward. Perhaps the cue stays the same, such as the time of day, morning, afternoon, evening. The routine or habit changes, and that's what I'm adding in this episode, right? Thinking about how you might be changing up the routine in the morning a little bit. And the reward is all about embracing the power that we have to create our very best next chapters, habit by habit and day by day. So on that note, thank you so much for your very positive reviews, as they not only fill me with gratitude, but they also ensure that this podcast gets pushed out into podcast land to reach more women entering into their next chapters. I can't thank you enough. Enjoy exploring your spring habits, and I look forward to chatting with you again next week. Bye for now. If you love this episode, I guarantee you're going to love exploring all the amazing opportunities that await us in reclaiming our awesomeness together. So come on over to my Facebook group, Women's Wellness Community for Women Wanting to Rock Their Me Now Years, or let's connect over on Instagram at HabitGuru365, and make the Habit Guru podcast your healthy new habit.